Amen. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'd like to focus on just sort of the middle section of 1 Peter chapter 3. We're just going to look at this section again. It's from verse 8 in 1 Peter 3, where we read this: "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil doing." And the title of the sermon this morning is, "Do You Have Good Manners? Do You Have Good Manners?" I'd like to pray, and then we're going to get going with this message. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, the clear teaching you give us in your word, Lord, about how we should behave around each other, around those on the outside as well, Lord. And please just help everyone to take this sermon in the right spirit, Lord, and to want to improve in this area, for all of us to want to improve in this area, Lord, and to just listen to what your word's saying, to not kind of get hard-hearted to it, to not get stiff-necked to it, and just to listen to your word and try and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, pray all of this. Amen. Okay, so this is one of those sermon topics, okay? I'm going to tell you now, it's going to tread on some toes, all right? It's not just going to tread on some toes, it's probably going to smash a few toes. It's going to tread on some feet. It probably tread on some fingers. It's going to tread on some hands. If you come out of this sermon and you haven't had something trodden on, well, you're either completely stubborn or I don't know. Maybe you're just the most polite person out there and you've got great manners. Because the reality of it is, every single one of us can improve in this area. Okay, and it is something that God wants us to improve in as well. And I'm going to show you that from the Bible today as well. Now, if you're too sensitive to take this sort of sermon, then you might want to either sneak out now, okay, and we'll just look the other way, or maybe you know, you can pretend that you've got important things to do in the church and stuff, and you know, you're just desperate for a drink or something else. Is that someone leaving? No, kidding. Okay. But however, God does, like I said, he wants us to get better in many areas, okay, and he prescribes preaching for us to get better in areas of life, okay? So if you're going, well, what's that? You know, it seems to be just practical sermons the last couple of ones, you know? Last week he was talking about keep your mouth shut. And, you know, where's all the theology? Where's all this? Look, well, you know, we have a balanced start of preaching here. You need to listen to all three services a week. We do Bible studies. We've got series on how to preach the gospel. We're back to Proverbs. It'll be practical. We go through all sorts here. Right now, this is something that I feel needs preaching on. Timothy was charged in 2 Timothy 4:2 to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. So we are as preachers, are told to reprove, to rebuke, okay? And that's just a part of it, and that's how we improve as Christians. That's how God wants us to improve. And sometimes it's going to feel painful. Sometimes you're going to wonder, you know, is he preaching at me, right? And some might be sitting there going, well, it's okay for you, Pastor Taverner, right? You're not the one getting preached. But I'll tell you what, when you study out a sermon, any of the guys will know here who have preached sermons, you're dwelling on those verses more than anyone has to dwell on them when they're sitting in a sermon. You're sitting there and the word of God's talking to you as well. And you're sitting there and you spend many more hours with those verses than that 1 hour when you might hear that verse quickly or that example quickly. So, you know, that's one thing to think about. And ultimately, we should all be improving, whether you're writing a sermon or whether you're preaching a sermon. It's all for us to be edified, to us improve in areas of life. Now, some of this stuff might have been inspired by people in this church. I'll be honest about that. And if so, thank you. Okay, because if it is you, then, well, you've probably helped others too now, because I'll be using examples and things. And again, I'm not going to be using specific things about people, okay? I'm not going to be naming and shaming stuff, just things I've noticed over time. But it's not just stuff in this church. It might have been inspired by your behaviour, but it might have been inspired by past members' behaviour or even people outside of church life as well, okay? So bad manners are everywhere, okay? And bad manners you see in church, you see out of church as well. We're all here to improve, okay? You're not going to improve if you start growling. if it applies to you, then great. That's how you should really look at it. Now, I know it's not always easy at the time, but if you're thinking that applies to me, I don't know, you know, is that something I maybe have done that you might even be thinking about while he's preaching this? Great, something to improve on. Great, you could notch that down and make a note and go, okay, that's something I need to work on, okay? Now, we're talking about good manners today. And although speech is a part of that, behaviour is too. So it's not just speech, it's behaviour as well. So I'm preaching on the full package. Why am I preaching on it? Well, for a few reasons, okay? If we want a harmonious church, then good manners, being polite, is important, isn't it? Okay, for everyone really here. 1 Peter 3, look down again, it said in verse 10 of 1 Peter 3, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. So we want to have a peaceful church. We want to have people, we don't want people to be offended often in church by each other. And if we're going to effectively reach the outside world with the gospel, then good manners is important with that as well, isn't it? Okay. Verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's humility. Okay. Humility, meekness, not pride or arrogance. Okay. Which sadly often goes hand in hand with bad manners, doesn't it? Verse 16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So even with good conversation, that's behaviour, okay, they will speak evil of you. Just basically, we don't want to give them an extra justification. We don't want to give them more reason. They're going to speak evil of you anyway, right? Now, if you go back to the previous chapter, 1 Peter 2, verses 11 to 12, give us a principle here, an important principle. It says in verse 11 of 1 Peter 2, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in a day of visitation. So if our behaviour is good amongst the unbelievers, there's more chance than getting saved at a later date, basically. So if they see good behaviour, and that includes good manners, okay, there's a good chance, and it could be a slow burner with family, where you want them to see with time that it's not a fad. You want them to see the good behaviour, not because you're pushing it in their face, just because with time people are going to see that unsafe family, unsafe friend, unsafe colleagues, people in your life outside of church. And then in that day, in that bad day, in that time of trouble, in that time when they're humble, in that time when it's like, I need some help, in that time when they realise their mortality, hopefully they're going to then glorify God on the day of visitation, okay? So politeness, manners, thinking of others, not being rude is a big part of that, okay? That's good behaviour, that's good conversation. Now, like I said, okay, it's also a big part of church life as well. And this is the way I see it, okay? This is the way I see it. If you don't have good manners in the church house, then you probably don't have them outside of the church house. That should be a pretty good assumption. And if it's the other way round, if you don't have good manners in the church house, but you do outside of the church house, then you need to get right with God. Then there's a problem. Okay? And he said in Romans 12:10, you don't have to turn there, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honour, preferring one another. So in respect, in honour, we should be preferring one another. Your manners should be better in the church house than anywhere else, really. Okay, he said in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And that should be something that should be in our hearts, and we should be extra polite, and our manners should be extra good in church. So, like I said, if I'm giving everyone the benefit of the doubt there, then if your manners are bad in the church house, you really need this preaching on, because what harm you're doing in the outside world, what you're doing in your outside lives, what harm you might be doing to your job prospects, what harm you might be doing to your unsafe family and friend and everything else would be a problem, right? And he said here in 1 Peter 3, verse 8, he said, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. He said, be courteous. Courteous, okay, is polite, well-bred, being of elegant manners, civil, obliging, condescending, and not in a bad way, applied to persons. Number two for the definition there is polite, civil, graceful, elegant, complacent, applied to manners, etc. He said to be of one mind, okay? So he said to be united in our beliefs, in our goals, in our standards, okay? We should be united in our standards here, shouldn't we? Okay, we should, and part of a sermon like this is to encourage people to understand what the standards are here to be united in. He said having compassion. So that's caring about others. We should care about others, shouldn't we? And a big part of manners is caring about others, right? Which is a lot easier, by the way, to care about others when they're not talking to you like dirt. So it goes both ways around as well, right? It's hard to care for people when they treat you with bad manners, when they treat you like you're scum on the bottom of their foot. To love like family, to be pitiful, to be courteous. So he commanded us, didn't he, to be courteous? Yeah? He commanded us to be courteous. He said, be polite. He said, have good manners, basically. Okay, so a sermon like this is important for everyone because it's a command of God. So you could be like, well, but I soul win and I read my Bible, you know, and I have some very holy talk and everything else. But if you're rude to people, if you're impolite, if you're not courteous, you're sinning. Okay, you're in sin. So it's something that we all need to work on. Okay, turn to Psalm 19. While you're turning, I'm going to read Romans 15:2. You're turning to Psalm 19, but Romans 15:2, we're told, let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. So we should be looking to please someone. We should be looking to honour them, to not basically displease them, because it's for their good to edification. And one way that you please your neighbour is by being polite. It's by treating them respectfully. And the first area that we're going to look at is speech. Okay, speech. The title is, do you have good manners? And number one, question number one, or point number one, do you have good manners in the way you speak? Do you have good manners in the way you speak? In Psalm 19:14, the psalmist David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So what comes out of our mouths is important to God. And although culture doesn't necessarily determine what's acceptable to God, it does determine what's considered courteous in the culture you're in. And if we're not being courteous, then those words aren't acceptable to the Lord, are they? We've just seen the command was be courteous. So if we want our words, the words of our mouth, to be acceptable in God's sight, then they should be courteous, and culture will determine that to some degree. So what are some of the cultural good manners in the UK, which is obviously where our church is and the predominant culture? Okay, it's important to know, isn't it? When you go to other nations, especially if you're going to live in another nation, you're going to associate with other people and you're going to interact and everything else, especially if you're going to soul with another nation, you want to know what's polite there, don't you? You want to know what's good manners. That should be something that we do. And as Brits, we're famous for not doing that, aren't we? People go over to other nations and just, you know, tear the place apart and everything else. And, you know, you get all of that sort of, you know, the stereotypes of that. Well, something we want to make sure is that we understand what is being courteous in the UK. Well, when it comes to speech, okay, something still a lot of children are taught growing up, and still a lot are, by the way, even though sadly, you know, these things do get eroded with time, is what's known as the P's and Q's. Yeah, you will have heard that maybe when you're growing up. Don't forget your P's and Q's. Okay, what are P's and Q's? They're pleases and thank yous. Okay, pleases and thank yous are really important. They're very important, not just in our culture. The equivalent is important in most cultures. Now, not all languages have a direct translation, but it is a universal concept. A please is, according to the Oxford Dictionary, used as a polite way of asking for something or telling somebody to do something. This is definition number one here. So, for example, please sit down. Or two coffees, please. Quiet, please. Please, could I leave early today? Definition number three, because we're applying it to manners here, is used as a polite way of accepting something. Would you like some help? Yes, please. Coffee, please. You know, you can even say it without a yes, right? Notice how both descriptions use what word? It's polite. It's polite. Another word is courteous, and God said, be courteous. So he said, be polite, right? So you could add to those, for example, and just some examples I thought off the top of my head. Please, can I have a bulletin? For example, please count me in for soul winning today to whoever it is, the soul winning captain, whoever's organising it. Yes, please, to coming to the latest event, etc., that's being organised, yeah? Okay, they're just standard stuff that's parlance, that's polite parlance in England, in the UK. Another saying, by the way, is it costs nothing to say please and thank you. You might have heard of that saying as well. It costs nothing. It's a split second extra on the end of something you say to say please or to say thank you for something. It really doesn't harm you at all. And you could also add to that, it only takes an extra second when writing a message. Because a lot of our communication nowadays is by message. It takes a split, especially with predictive text. I mean, you're talking, and I'll tell you what, it will even be less of a second, it'll be a split second if you started doing it regularly, because your phone is going to suggest the please on the end of something or the thank you, right? If it's common for you and you do it. If it's not coming up as a suggestion, you got a problem, all right? Okay. Okay, so it only takes an extra second. It costs nothing to say please or thank you. What's the point in the thank you? Okay, well, the Oxford Dictionary says definition number one for thanks is used to show that you are grateful to somebody for something they have done. How are you? For example, just asking how you are. Fine, thanks equals thanks for asking. Thanks for doing something. You know, for example, thanks for lending me the money. Thanks for something. Many thanks for your support. Definition number two, a polite way of accepting something that somebody has offered you. Would you like a coffee? Okay, thanks. Or, oh, thanks, here's the change. Thanks very much. Do you want to come with us? I'd love to, thanks. Notice how they're not like, it's not like someone's kind of changed their whole life for you. It's just it's just a polite way of appreciating anything, right? No, definition number three is no thanks. A polite way of refusing something that somebody has offered you. Would you like some more? No thanks, whether you wanted it or not, right? What's the key word there again? Polite. It's polite. Okay, it's polite in our culture. It's a polite way, a courteous way, we could say. And we're told, be courteous. Okay? Now, you could add to those. So these are some things just off the top of my head again that I thought of when making these notes. Thanks when given a bulletin, for example. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks when given a soul-winning map. Thanks for the meal, etc. Just thank you when someone's done something, given you something, you've had something from someone else, even just an offer, right? Turn to Proverbs 18. Now, in case you're sitting there thinking, this is pretty obvious stuff. Okay, I didn't come for this sort of thing. I came for, you know, something a bit more, you know, involved here. This should be too obvious, isn't it? Well, apparently not. Okay, apparently not. And like I said, yeah, if the manners are lacking in the house of God to brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm assuming they're lacking outside too. So if people can't just use normal please and thank yous in the house of God, or when addressing people in the house of God, or in message to people in you know, their brothers and sisters in Christ, then surely they're lacking outside as well. Now, what are the reasons? Maybe it was lacking in your upbringing. So some people, it's just something maybe they weren't raised with, and you know, that can happen. Maybe it's a cultural thing. Not everyone here comes from British culture. Maybe they're not as used to this sort of thing. Or maybe you're just too rich. Maybe you're just too wealthy, because Proverbs 18:23 says, the poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. And that is a truth in life, isn't it? Rich people can be some of the rudest people. They can have some of the best upbringing, but they're rude. And a lot of the time, poor people are just generally more polite, aren't they? A lot of the time. Now, you could get to the point where it's sort of like, you get to kind of, where you get into like, you know, druggy kind of cultures type stuff where they're like right at the bottom of society. And then it can be the other way around. But even then, sometimes the drug addicts are pretty polite. I've noticed when you knock on their doors, you know, they can be pretty polite whilst they're rejecting the gospel. And sometimes they're not rejecting the gospel. But so entreaties is being polite. It's humble communication. That's what an entreaty is. And the reason being is the issue can be pride, can't it? Obviously closely linked to wealth. So the issue for many people is pride, which is why they're unable to say please and thank yous, to just show some gratitude for anything in life. Now, this is a strange attitude to have when going into the house of the Almighty God, isn't it? It's a strange thing to walk into the house of God puffed up with so much pride that you can't just say please to someone or thank you to someone. Okay, like I said, it can just be that it's a lacking in upbringing and you're not really aware and everything else, okay? But it is a strange thing to have. You know, it's a sort of, why should I say please and thank you to you? You should provide me this. I should get that. And that's a weird attitude to have, okay? And that's something that you need to correct if you have that. Now, go to Colossians chapter 3. Pride is often a factor with the next word on my list. It seems to be missing in so many people's vocabularies as well in life. Okay, so I'm not just talking about in church life, but I have seen it in church life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3:12 says this, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. If there's some kindness, some humbleness of mind, some meekness, do you know what should be an easy word to say? Sorry. No, it's not a dirty word. Okay? You can say sorry. Okay? Now, you don't have to say it all the time. Okay? But sorry is a normal word. It's a good word to say. Okay? Oxford's definitions that apply here are feeling sad and ashamed about something that has been done. Sorry about something. We're very sorry about the damage to your car, for example. I'm sorry about the mess. Haven't had a chance to tidy up yet. Sorry for something. She's obviously deeply sorry for what she has done. We are sorry for the delay and hope the train will be moving again shortly. Sorry for doing something. He says he's really sorry for taking the car without asking. Sorry that she was sorry that she lost her temper. For example, I am so sorry that this happened. If you say you're sorry, we'll forgive you. And it does help with forgiveness, doesn't it, when someone actually shows some sign of regret and says sorry. Now, feeling disappointed about something and wishing you had done something different or had not done something is another reason. Sorry that. Used when you're apologising for something. I'm sorry I forgot. Oh, I'm sorry. Have I taken the one you wanted? I'm sorry I can't make it tomorrow. I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's an urgent call for you. And here are some examples in church life, okay, to add to those. I'm sorry that I'm late for soul winning. That should just be normal. When you're running late, whether it's your fault or not, whether it's, well, it was the traffic. Do you know that the polite response, so you don't have to be like, well, I don't think I'm to blame for this one. It's like, it's manners, it's politeness. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm running late for the soul winning time. You're having to wait and rearrange and everything else to soul winning captains, for example. I'm sorry that I'm late for soul winning. I'm sorry that I can't now make the event that you've spent however long planning and you've paid for. Like, the first word should be sorry, okay? I'm sorry that I can't make whatever responsibility, job, role, something I've committed to, whether it's in church life or outside of church life. Just, I'm sorry. It's such an easy word that should just come out of people's mouths, okay? And believe me, I'm not going out, you're not, oh, well, he's got high standards here. This was normal when I grew up, believe me. This is standard. In our culture, you apologise. It's such a powerful word. It makes such a difference when used genuinely. It makes it so much easier to forbear and forgive someone like we saw in verse 13. It just, for me, it just solves it straight away. Someone says sorry, it's like, yeah, whatever, you know? But when they don't, it leaves such a gap. It's like it's glaringly obvious that it's missing when someone doesn't. When you get these messages where people are like, I won't be making it now. And you're just like, where's the sorry? Like, it's weird. And like I said, okay, with these, if they're important with your church family, then they're also important with your own family as well. Okay, so all these things, all these manners, if they're important with your brothers and sisters in Christ, surely they're important with your brothers and sisters in Christ who are your blood relatives you live with every day. And that's something where all of us need to remember sometimes, because we can be very polite with strangers or with people that we don't see as often or we only see once or twice a week. We can be polite with people that we hardly see at all. And then when it comes to our loved ones, suddenly the pleases and the thank yous and the sorries and everything are taken. And that shouldn't be the case, should it? Okay, we should be showing respect to everyone, especially those that we love and care about, right? It's good to show your loved ones respect. And ultimately, you're going to get that back, aren't you, as well? Okay, if you show people respect. And I think some people get this wrong. They think if they don't talk down to someone, if they do, if they're too polite, they're going to get mugged off in one way or another. They're going to get treated badly. But that's not the case. Do unto others as you'd expect to be done unto you, right? Treat people politely, treat people with respect, and they'll show you respect back. Now, back in 1 Peter chapter 3, said in verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. It's a command. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So another thing to remember is to be courteous when greeting each other, when greeting people. Greeting, especially here, we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. When you're greeting them, like, bless each other with a nice, polite greeting. Like, for example, Paul in all his letters. I mean, you read the beginning of some of Paul's letters, some of those epistles to those churches, and there's like a good few verses sometimes of greeting and a good few verses of farewell at the end, and it's pretty polite, isn't it? is pretty respectfully showing honour to, even when he's about to give him an absolute whooping for however much of a letter, for example, in 1 Corinthians, but he will introduce a letter with manners, with courteousness. So do you have good manners when you greet people? Do you have good manners to even greet people? And, you know, here's another one with that, new people. Does everyone here have good manners that when someone new comes in a church, and you know what, that's a hard thing to walk into a church. To walk into a church for the first time is hard. Do you greet them? Now, you don't have to go up, and don't do this, don't go up to new people and interrogate them. Don't go up to new people, and it's weird when, like, there's a new person, no one's ever met them, and suddenly they're talking, like, 15 minutes later with someone, and it feels like they're just being interrogated, you know? That shouldn't be the case, but they should at least be greeted. Hi, you know, great to have you here. You don't have to preach in the gospel. We organise that between myself and the ushers with someone who's new, okay, when someone comes in. So, because otherwise what happens, they come into a church, they've got three different people asking them, four different people, if you die today, where are you going? And they're just like, that church is obsessed with people dying. So you don't have to do that, but just be polite. Have a quick chat, say hello. At the least, just say hi. Nice to see you. Just a smile, a greeting. But it should also be when we come in and out of the church house, obviously. Saying hi, maybe asking how someone is. And this is something we need to train our children in as well. So it's like everything in life. There's not a switch that you just flick. Now, different kids are different with this. Different kids will take longer with this. Don't be like people go too far this and like the two-year-old. They're like, so you better say hello to that person now. And you're like, oh my God, this is really awkward, you know. And it's like the kid's just, oh, I'm not saying hello. And you're standing there going, say hello to them. Yeah. But you do need to, as kids are getting older, remind them, try and train them with that, don't you? It's something that we should be training our children to be polite, to be respectful, because it is a blessing. It's nice to have a nice greeting, isn't it? It's nice for someone to actually seem like they're pleased to see you and everything else. We shouldn't just be trying to sneak off and sneak in and sneak out and everything else. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, Leviticus 19:32. You're turning to Ephesians 4. Leviticus 19:32 says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the young man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. So it's good to try to train the kids to show respect to adults. And that does sometimes take time to get the boundaries right. So, for example, your kids are different. Kids are different. They might see you joking around with the adults. So they think they can just like start mocking them and making a joke. And a lot of the time, they still working on their humour a bit. So, yeah, that's probably a bit close to the mark and stuff like that. And obviously, we're training kids with that, aren't we? Trying to encourage them, help them to get right with that. But what we should be teaching everyone is to give respect to their elders, especially. And with kids, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Okay. So when they do come into a church, when they leave, we're trying to encourage them to greet the people as they come in, to say hello, to not just walk in, to not just ignore you, to not just say a quick kind of flippant remark or something else. I mean, you'd be amazed sometimes, you know, and sometimes older kids as well over the years here. And in our culture, we generally shake hands as men. OK, that's something that we do in British culture. OK. And when I say we shake hands as men, you're going, why are you telling us this? Because we don't cuddle, okay, as men. That's not really a thing that we do as a culture here. Some women, if they know each other, maybe give a polite hug, okay? And they can do that. And if you don't like that, if you're one of those women that's like, I don't want anyone to talk, then just put your hand out, you can shake hands, right? Some, you know, that's up to them. The opposite genders, though, it's polite to shake hands. Now, and I say that for a reason, because some people go too far with this stuff, where they're like, I'm never talking to anyone of the opposite gender in church and even greeting them or saying hi. And it's like, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Say hello to them. You know, it's don't worry. They're not going to think you're trying to have an affair with their wife or husband because you've said hi. You know, it's like, and shaking their hand. Now, if they really don't want, we have had people before where it's like, you've gone to shake their hand, they're like this. And it's like, okay, if their husband's got issues like that, whatever. Okay, but it's a bit extreme, okay? But again, that's up to you. Just make it clear if that is your issue and everything else. But otherwise, like you could greet each other. Now, you could go too far the opposite way and be having quiet little like private chats with someone's husband, wife, or someone single, or whatever it is, you know, in corners of the church. That's weird. Just show respect. If I'm talking to a lady in the church, I generally make sure I'm just a couple of steps. I'm just showing polite manners, just boundaries, respect. I'm not breathing down their neck while I'm talking to them and stuff like that. Obviously, right? Okay, but so there is weird behaviour. Weird behaviour, like I remember Pastor Thompson preached a while back about they had a guy in their church who used to give all the women in the church full frontal hugs. Okay, that ain't happening in this church, right? We'll turf you out, you do that, okay? Because that's just weird, right? Okay, but there's weird behaviour, but then there's going too far where you're like blanking women. So I'm not going to be like, hey, you know, give a handshake to some guy and then just to his wife, you know? Or just look the other way and find the next guy to shake hands with. That's weird, yeah? And same with the women the other way around and stuff as well. Okay, but, you know, you can understand where there's a line with this stuff, okay? We want to be polite to each other. Okay, now, you don't want to go too far the other way with that as well, okay? So, wives are to submit unto their own husbands. Their own husbands. And obviously, including, everyone should submit unto the authority of the church to some degree, but not every man in the church, okay? So, our wives aren't to submit to you random men in the church. Okay, they're not there for you to tell what to do, for you to boss around, for you to tell. Okay, that's not how it works. Yeah, get your own wife for that. Okay, don't start bossing around our wives. Okay, that's not how it works. So don't be, and in general, just don't be talking down to the women in the church. Okay, because they ain't your wife, you know. And if it's your wife, you shouldn't be talking down to her either. Okay, bossing them around or anything like that, treat them with respect. I mean, you should be treating your own wife with respect, let alone someone else's wife. Just treat them with respect, okay? And obviously, that goes for women in the world too. So if you're in the workplace, don't be that Christian guy that just, like, talks to women like they're scum. And I don't think we've got many people like that. Hopefully, we don't have anyone like that. But there are people like that out there, okay, who just, like, women are, like, some sort of, you know, something to tell what to do to, like, I can't believe she's in the workplace, not even ever going to, like, acknowledge her or say hello when I say hello to everyone else. Like, that's weird. And I'm sure no one does that, okay, but you'd be surprised how far people take things. Turn to Ephesians, you're in Ephesians chapter 4, which says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And of course that applies to how we talk to both our brothers and our sisters in Christ, okay? We should be putting away the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamour, okay? We should be kind one to another. We should just be tender. Oh, we should just be nice, be polite, be kind. And on that point about brothers and sisters, though, is it impolite to not call someone brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? Because you'd be surprised. People kind of get confused about this stuff. Now, I've explained this before, okay? There's no biblical command or even precedent, okay, to call someone by that title before their name. We see the Apostle Paul and others talking about brethren and talking about a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, okay? But there isn't brother this and sister that, and there's no command, there's no cultural impoliteness with this either, okay? Neither British culture, nor even, I would say, fundamental Baptist culture requiring it. It's not required, okay? Just to make this clear. It's something that we do use to distinguish a leadership position, okay, such as an evangelist, and to distinguish whether a preacher is a pastor or not. So when, for example, we put on our channel and someone preaches, we'll put bro dot as a short for brother, that person, just to make it clear they're not a pastor preaching and that it's just a brother in the church, etc. But when talking to each other in the church, okay, being in Britain, just to make it clear, we don't have an independent fundamental Baptist culture in Britain. Okay, like I said, it's not a requirement in an independent fundamental Baptist church, but it's more normal. If you're in America, you know, and you weren't even, and you walked into a church, you probably would have heard it and seen it and seen people talking to each other, call each other brother this or sister that. It's a bit less weird. In Britain, it's just weird. It comes across as weird. Now, yeah, we don't get rid of biblical things for their win. I'm not saying we need to get rid of it. If you want to call someone brother or sister, that's your choice, okay? I'm not going to, like, ultimate control, never, you know? No, but I do think it does. Like, if you're a new person, you walk into a church and it's like, oh, my name's brother this, my name's sister that. It's just like, it's a bit weird because they're not used to it. And it's not a biblical thing. It's not a command. Now, you can if you want. If you want to call people brother and sister that, you know, you go ahead, okay? But I personally believe, yeah, calling someone your brother or sister in a loving, endearing way is nice. So I might just say, yeah, thanks, brother, thanks, sister. But I don't know, when it becomes a formal title, it kind of loses that love anyway, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like when I'm like, brother this, it's like, it's no longer like, hey, my brother. It's more like, right now we've got a title. A title because, you know, you need that extra respect for the title. Now, like I said, in leadership, I do believe it's important, okay, to have a distinguishment. And I think, for example, evangelist this, if we have an evangelist in the future, I'll probably encourage to be called brother this or that. That's kind of in Baptist culture, that is kind of what people are known as an evangelist. Evangelist starts to sound a bit long. It's what is it, four syllables on the front of a name. Probably deacon, I'll just say deacon this, deacon that, okay? Because again, it's just making that clear that that's a position of authority and we do need that in life a lot of the time, right? But here's the thing, if you're referring to yourself as brother this or sister that, that's even weirder, okay? It really is. And when I was an evangelist, I found that hard to do, especially at the beginning as well, because it was just a bit weird. So if you're going up to people and going, hello, my name's brother this, you know, it's like, come on, man, like, it's just weird. Why do you need, why do you need that? And I have heard of people, and I don't know if this is true or not, correcting others for not using this title when talking about people. And if that's you, please don't do that. Don't correct people and tell them off because they didn't refer to someone as sister this or brother that. That's weird, okay? And you know what that's not? It's not courteous. It's not polite to tell someone off for not referring to someone with the name brother or sister before when there's, I have no rule about that in this church, okay? So it's up to you. You want to call someone brother or sister, do it. If you want to call them brother or sister by their name, it's up to you, right? What you want to do with kids, that's up to you. I don't know. Personally, it's just be... probably take a lot of training. I'd probably prefer my kids to call people by their, like Mr. or Mrs. by their surname. I just know that it would take a long time to get all that sorted. I don't know, because I do believe with kids, they should show some respect for an adult. They should rise up before the hoary head. They should call him something. The brother or sister thing, again, look, if you want to do that and that's you, cool, you know, and my kids do, like my older kids, they've kind of got used to that. And I don't know. It's not a rule. Let's put it that way. Okay. And it's up to you what you want to do with that. Okay, go back to 1 Peter 3. The title is, do you have good manners? And number one, in the way you speak. Do you have good manners in the way you speak? Like I said, it's not rude to call someone by their God-given name, okay? By the name that their, or at least that their parents gave them, okay? Do you have good manners in the way you speak? Now, however, you can use the most polite words and still have bad manners, okay? He said in verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. So you can be as polite as you like, but full of guile, full of manipulation, you're still not being courteous. Okay, so obviously it's not just, you know, there's some smiling, very polite, wicked people in the world, unfortunately. Okay, so it's not just about the manners, but, the, you know, in terms of how you speak, but how you speak is important. He said, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Okay, so having good manners also applies to our actions. Okay, it's not just about what comes out of your mouth. Following that which is good. Okay, doing good in other areas, not just the way we speak. So turn to Philippians chapter 2. The title is, do you have good manners? Number one, do you have good manners in the way you speak? And number two, do you have good manners in the way you behave? Do you have good manners in the way you behave? Philippians chapter 2 says in verse 1, Philippians 2, 1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, okay? So we should be of one accord, of one mind. We should kind of get us, you know, understand what it's expected, what's our sort of polite standards in our church, which is what I'm explaining today, and I probably haven't done for a couple of years now. Said in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Okay? And this is a big part of manners when it comes to your behaviour. You could have it polished. You can have the please and thank yous, the sorries and everything else, but in lowliness of mind, are you esteeming others better than yourself? Do you esteem other people as better than you? Do you esteem other people's time as better than yours? Do you have good manners when it comes to other people's time? And the obvious one is lateness. Okay, that's an obvious one because it's just bad manners. It's bad manners wherever you come from, really, okay? Wherever your culture is, whatever you, you know, whatever you, however you've been raised, just bad manners, because ultimately what you're doing is you're saying your time is less important than mine. You can wait for me to come and meet you. You can wait for me for this rendezvous, for this whatever situation, for this meeting, for whatever it is. It's not, your time isn't so important to me, so I'm going to leave it till the last minute or beyond because I've got other things to do. And it's rude, isn't it? It's impolite. Lateness is impolite. Making people wait for you is impolite. Getting a lift and then making people wait for you is impolite, isn't it? So if you get a lift from someone comes to pick you up, whatever, and you're not there ready for it, it's impolite. You know, be ready to go, be ready for that lift, be ready, you know, for whatever it is that you make sure you're there when you've told someone you're going to be there, unless you think that them waiting is more important, or is less important than you actually leaving on time. So other ideas for this, okay? Agreeing to a soul winning time, maybe a marathon, and making the captain and therefore as well your partner wait for you. It's just rude. Bad manners. Now, there are emergencies, there are problems, there are situations, I get that, okay? But when it becomes a regular, it's bad manners. You know, you're, and you know what? It has a far-reaching effect as well, because you're basically preventing people getting saved. So if I'm kind of standing there, or someone else, you know, has got a soul-winning time, and you're like, I don't know if they're coming, I don't know if they are or not, said they were coming, the meet-up time was this time, but we're now an hour later, or maybe they've messaged, said, oh, I'm going to be like an hour late. And it's like, okay, well, someone's got to wait for you then before they can go. So it's just rude. It's just bad manners. Now, again, it will happen every now and again. Okay, I get that. The emergency time, things happen now and again. But when it becomes a regular, it's bad manners. Okay. How about esteeming the organizer of whatever it is that's been arranged, esteeming them high enough for you to not just cancel on a whim? Because, look, we organise a lot of stuff for this church and it never ceases to amaze me how many people will agree to something and then just cancel. And some people, it can be a habit, okay? So to not flip a coin in the morning to decide whether or not you're going to turn up to the thing that was organised and often paid for as well. So paid for heads on this, organise that, book this, and it's like, can't be bothered. That's impolite, it's bad manners. Again, it will happen every now and again. There might be an emergency situation, okay? So I'm not getting at you if that's you. But you've got to assess your heart with that. Is there time? Is there organising? Is whatever it is, are you esteeming that more important than yourself? Or is it down to you? Well, yeah, but I could be doing this instead now. It's rude. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. To have respect for commitments, for other people's time, for other people's schedules, is in lowliness of mind, esteeming other better than yourselves. And that would include what time you arrive in God's house, by the way. Okay, I'm just going to make that clear now. Okay, that includes what time you arrive in God's house. Now, I understand some people come far on public transport. And I understand that some people come far and now and again, there might be an issue on the roads or something else. There are rare extreme circumstances, but for everyone else, okay, if it's possible to get here on time, just get up earlier. That's esteeming others better than yourself. That's basically saying, look, me getting there on time, that's esteeming God better than your lying. Okay, better than the warmth of your duvet is just get out of bed. You know, put an alarm on and get out of bed. Show God some respect. Show the ushers some respect as well. Because if every single time you come to church, they have to get up and open the door for you, they've just missed part of the service every single time. Now, if it's not possible, I prefer you here than you not be here at all. But if it's possible, then it just comes down to a respect thing, doesn't it? And it comes down to, therefore, not esteeming others better, and it comes down to bad manners. 1 Corinthians 13 says of charity, so the kind of love that we aspire to, charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Are you self-important? Do you behave unseemly or inappropriately for where you are? Are you just self-driven? And again, it's bad manners if you are. It's something that we should all assess regularly, make sure that we're putting other people first. Do you have good manners when it comes to thinking of others? So, for example, things that, again, in church or out of church, same with the lateness stuff. It works with everything, right? Do you have good manners? For example, do you leave behind you a deluge of mess everywhere you go? Is it, well, someone else can clear that up. Someone else can pick up after me. I've said this many times, you know, it's amazing what you end up experiencing, seeing in the house of God. It's the house of God. With brothers and sisters in Christ. They have to pick up after you, clear up after you. You know, they're empty cups, half-drunk teacups, coffee cups, everything just half-drunk. What, you'd be amazed at the end of a day, and they're just cups all over the floor, up on here, down there. It's like, it's not good manners, right? If you went into someone's home, I'm assuming, you'd be like, oh, where would you like me to put this cup afterwards, right? Well, it's pretty obvious here, in the bin. If it's a china mug, wash it up. Are you leaving dirty plates like I spoke about the other week? This is bizarre. It's like, you know, we don't even have to have plates here for you to use. We just lock them all away. It's like, use the plates. Yeah, someone else could wash them up. I mean, that's bad manners, right? Okay. Food, kids' food all over the place. You know, it's like, whether we're in this church or I've been in past churches, you know, when we fed our kids in a church, we just looked around after and picked up stuff off the floor. To the point of picking up crumbs, sandwich crumbs off the floor, because it's just rude. It's bad manners, isn't it? You're a guest somewhere, right? And that would include toilets and stuff as well. So it's like, if you know, parents, if your kid is incapable of going to the toilet at home without trashing it, yeah, okay, then they can't do it at church. However much you want to chat to someone or not have to get up, they're incapable. So it's bad manners, isn't it? Because you know there's a chance that that toilet's been left who knows how, you know? And it should be like, this is normal stuff, you know? So it's not stuff you would hope that you'd have to kind of explain, but unfortunately we do sometimes, okay? Some of the way the church house has been treated over the years, I dread to think how people therefore must behave when they're not in God's house. Because this is God's house. God's house with brothers and sisters in Christ cleaning up after you. Can you imagine what it must be like then when people are going around their friends, family, wherever else? I'm assuming. Do you care about others when it comes to your kids? Should everyone else be expecting to find them cute as well, for example? You know, like, so when the kid's like literally screaming at the top of their lungs and it's like everyone else, it's bad manners. You know, now look, sometimes we can't help it. Kids make noise, stuff like that. But we want to be on top of that. We want to be caring about other people, right? And that's something we have to be aware of. It's, you know, with a family integrated church, it's important to get that balance right, you know? Look, you don't have to rush them out when they make a breath, when they talk or something, you know? But sometimes it's like the complete opposite, you know? You've got like a kid just like smashing something, you know? For like, or in the back with like a noisy toy, just smash, 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 you know? Everyone's just like, what on earth, you know? And then it's like, that's bad, that's beyond bad manners. It's like, what do you want to do? We're in a church service, you know? So stuff to think about, right? Do we care? Are we seeking our own? Are we seeking not our own? Okay, are we behaving unseemly or not? Do you leave everyone else to look after your kid? That's another one you see people do often. Well, you get your important fellowship time and then people having to discipline and tell off your kids. Like, now, that happens every now and again, right? Now and again, it's like, okay, I didn't see my kid had gone and done that. But when it's coming, happening regularly, that's bad manners. And if you're going out places or whatever else, it's like, yeah, kids can sit with someone else while I go and, you know, I've got some important conversation to have. Like, that's bad manners, okay? We're here to look after our kids as well. It's not someone else's job. Do you have good manners in the way you behave? Turn to Luke chapter 14. Do you have good manners when invited for a meal? Now, this is something I want to hit as well, okay? Because I think people need some lessons on this stuff, okay? Luke chapter 14, you're turning to. Do you have good manners when invited out for a meal or when invited round someone's house for a meal? Verse 8 says, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. This is verse 10 now. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So do you take the head of your family member's table, for example? Would you walk around, would you be invited around someone's home and just go, well, I'll just sit here in maybe their favourite spot or at the head of their table? Do you organise the seating when you're invited somewhere for food? Because I've noticed that happen a lot over the years. You know, it's like you don't quite get there early enough and suddenly someone's already just organised. We're sitting here. These people are sitting there. We're going to have a kids' table here. We're going to do that. They're like, is that what you're doing? Because if you're invited out for a meal, there should be respect when you're invited somewhere, right? Do you decide that where you sit is more important than everyone else? Because a lot of people do that, right? Or do you show manners and wait to be directed? Now, again, sometimes it's obvious. Just a load of tables, sit down at a table, right? But sometimes people do some weird stuff with this, and obviously that will therefore include when they're at people's homes and things like that. Do you ask where your host would like you to sit when you go around someone's house? Because that's normal manners. So if I go to someone's home for dinner and they go, right, dinner's served on the table, I don't just go, right, this looks like a nice seat for me. I'll usually stand there and hover. And say, and again, I'm not saying because I'm great. I'm just, that's how normal people behave. You know, that's how I was taught to behave. And I'm sure most people would do the same. You just wait or go, where would you like me to sit? You know, where, and should be normal stuff, right? Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Do you have good manners when being offered food? Okay, and this is another thing that we need to also teach our kids about, okay? 1 Corinthians 10:27. Do you have good manners when being offered food? Paul said, if any of them that believe not, bid you to a feast and you be disposed to go. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. So the context is meat offered to idols, okay? Not asking whether it is or isn't. But the principle is eating what you're given. That's the principle that you can take from that verse. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, okay? So for example, not, don't like that. Don't like that sort of food. You know, it's just like, just eat it, okay? It's not going to kill you, okay? Just eat it. Well, I mean, we had before, you know, like people would make things, bake things. We had like, obviously a load of lunatics here. Just be like, is it got this in it? Because I don't like that. It's just like, what on earth? It's been made for you. It's like, if you don't want it, don't eat it. it's just, no, it's like, is it all goaty? It's like, has it got goat's butter? It's like, goat's butter doesn't taste of goats. It tastes of butter. Like cow's butter doesn't taste of cows. It did, it'd be quite nice for the meat eaters, right? But it's stuff like that, right? It's just like, just eat. If you don't want it, don't eat it. You know, like people who like what they like and don't like is so important, or, you know, it can be worse than that, right? You know, I don't like this or that. Loudly exclaiming, I don't eat that, don't have that sort of food. It's like, well, okay, great. Yeah, don't eat it then. But people are rude like that, right? When it's paid for, it's prepared, or people have lovingly brought stuff in, what's in it? It's just like, just eat it. Shut up. You know? Does it fit with my latest diet? Just eat it. Yeah? Deal with your diet the next day when you're doing it. Oh, well, it's got too many carbs in it. What are you preparing for the church this time? Hmm? Because on my diet, I won't be able to. It's like, just shut up. If you don't want it, don't eat it. If not, eat it. You know, oh, what are the additives? Can I see the ingredients? It's like, if you do that when you go around someone's house, you've got severely bad manners, yeah? Just don't eat it. And now, obviously, the caveat would be food allergies and intolerances. And I know, look, some people think, that old nonsense, they're just being fun. Believe me, my family would much prefer not to have food allergies and intolerances in family. It's because, do you know why? Do you know one of the main reasons? Because you feel rude. Even though you know it's going to cause a load of problems and ill health and everything else, you still feel rude saying, look, could you, you know, sorry, do you mind telling me if it's got this in it? Or, and often, we just don't say anything and then just have to, like, boycott certain foods because you don't want someone to have to make all this effort for you, right? And that's kind of normal, is it? Because someone's preparing, someone's making stuff, you're going somewhere, someone's buying food or putting on food. The normal thing is to just eat what's given to you. And there are situations where you can't. Because where possible, we should just eat what's put in front of us. And like I said, if you get the choice, so if there's like a buffet, you get the choice to put something in front of you or not, just avoid the things that you don't want to put in front of you. It's pretty simple. Just subtly don't eat if it's so important, your latest diet, you know? But be discreet about it. Not just like, well, I can't eat that. Because I don't eat these things. And it's just like, oh, thanks, okay. So I just like paid a load of money, got all this stuff, and you can't eat it, you know, and you need to advertise that as well. You know, it's just like, and again, just stuff to think of, because really, what we taught growing up, eat what's given you. And that's what you need to teach your kids, by the way, okay? You need to teach your kids from young to eat what's put in front of them. And you're gonna, and you know what you need to do, because otherwise you're gonna end up with a kid that grows up that doesn't eat anything. and they're going to miss out on so much enjoyment in life, so much pleasure from different foods, everything else. Do you know what the simple rule for me is? Okay, this is how we run it in our house. If you don't eat it now, you're eating it for breakfast. It's better to have it when it's warm. And they will eat it for breakfast. If they don't eat it for breakfast, you ain't getting no breakfast. You'll be having it for lunch. And you know what? It's pretty quick. And do you know what then happens with time? Suddenly they eat most foods. And it's pretty simple, right? And if you don't, if you're like, oh, they just don't like any vegetables. Just can't work it out. They just don't like all these healthy things. They only like crisps and chocolate. They must just have been born like that. No, you're an idiot, okay? You should have dealt with it. Okay, so, sorry if someone is an idiot there, but it's idiotic, let's put it that way. Okay, turn to Proverbs 23, okay? Another one I want to just hit, last one, okay, on I think food, last couple, okay? Proverbs 23, do you have good manners when being served or ordering food when taken out for food? Proverbs 23 says it like this in verse 1. Proverbs 23, 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. So he's saying, don't be greedy when you're invited out, basically, okay? Don't be covetous of the fine foods. Don't be covetous of lots of food. Look, if you're invited around someone's house for dinner, okay, don't pile up your plate. Yeah, that's pretty normal, isn't it? Don't go around someone's house and they go, oh, well, help yourself. You're just like shoving it all on. You've got a mountain of food and everything else. Even if, look, and this is normal manners, they might say, oh, have what you like, and you're still careful if they're really insisting. And really, because it's like, oh, I really want to eat as well. I don't want them to feel rubbish. And they're like, insisting as well. Then you're like, look, if you insist, they're like, oh, please eat. And there's a certain amount of insistence that kind of makes you go, okay, well, I have a bit more, isn't there? Because some people go, oh, yeah, have what you like. But really, you're looking at it, you assess, you're like, there's probably not that much there anyway, so maybe I need to be a bit careful about this, you know? Okay, because some people obviously could be rude with that. People will say things like, don't worry about being polite. Why? Because it's polite not to just eat everything in their home. You know, not just, oh, man, we've just had, like, the Taverner family round, and they've just, like, you know, they've gone through the house like one of those cartoons in about 5 seconds and everything's empty, you know? Okay, and that could easily happen, all right? Okay. Well, it's the same when you're taking out somewhere for dinner, okay? In fact, you could even say more so, okay? Don't be a pig. I mean, I know you're laughing, but you'd be amazed. Don't be a pig. Now, I've preached the opposite with this because there are people that are like, I better just have, like, the side dish. Because, and it's like, no, look, like if you're taking out for a dinner, like church takes you out, just get a normal dish off the menu. Yeah, you don't have to get just like the side dish to show extra manners. But on the flip side, don't get the most expensive things on the menu every time you go out. For your kids as well. It's bizarre. It's such bad manners, yeah? And I've seen this happen, you'd be amazed over the years. Like, right, the mixed grills. No, it's like, what on earth? It's like, yeah, dessert as well, please. It's like, you're being taken out for dinner. Like, have some manners. Just eat something normal off the menu. Just everyone kind of knows. That's kind of standard. You know, it's like, when I used to pay for the drinks, and I had to stop that, yeah, it got so silly. Because it was like milkshakes, it was like all these expensive drinks and everything else. I stopped paying for the drinks, and all those same people started ordering tap water. And it was like, oh, so it's all right if the church pay for it. It's like, what on earth? Like, the only thing you've got to pay for is your drinks, and now I just want free drinks. But when the church are paying for it, bring it on. Teas, coffees afterwards, milkshakes. It's like, that's really bad manners. And like I said, if you're doing that, if you're doing that with God's money, you're doing that with church, you're covetous in church with that stuff, what are you doing outside? What are you doing when your family member takes you for a meal? I'll have everything off the menu, please give me a doggy bag as well. And you're a bad testimony. If you're doing that with God's money, you're doing that amongst God's people, what are you doing when your boss takes you out for something to eat? He's just going, don't know about getting this. Don't know about employing this guy for much longer because he's going to cost me a fortune on all the work dues. But it's such bad manners, yeah? Again, you don't have to go hungry, just eat. And if you're really hungry, still afterwards, get a kebab on your way home. It's like, just if you just need, like, just throwing food, someone needs to throw food down your throat for you to be happy, go somewhere, like, afterwards, it's cheap. Just get two portions of chips or something with some dodgy doner meat on the top. Yeah. Instead of like, right, what's the most expensive thing? I'll get that. A few adult meals for the kids. You know, like, honestly, I've seen some crazy stuff over the years with that. Okay. So, okay. Point being, okay, if you're invited somewhere, if you're invited to someone's home, if you just be polite. Just show good manners. Good manners to just be polite with these things, okay? And obviously you don't want people to think, it seems like pure covetousness, greed, gluttony, whatever else, okay? Now, you could also, last bit to add to that, you could also add the way you eat, okay? So, and I'm not thinking about anyone here, okay? Honestly, I'm not, okay? So I usually sit opposite my kids and my family when I eat, and that's horrific enough. They're my material. But, okay, but it is bad manners, isn't it? And just something just maybe to think about, you know, when you're out eating, nothing worse than seeing everyone's food pouring out of their mouth, spilling out, you know, talking to you with mouths full of food and chewed up. I hate chewed up food, okay? It really disgusts me. It disgusts me more than a lot of probably much nastier things in life. Chewed up food and stuff and just seeing food all over my own kid's face. It's one of my bugbears, all right? But, you know, when you're out and eating stuff, you've got to be careful of that. And here's, I'll give you a tip on this. It's like on a lighter note, okay? Think about what you order. So, for example, don't order the spaghetti because you're going to be slurping it up. It's going to be slapping around your face, stuff like that. Now, I made an error with this. When I went to Switzerland a while back, yeah, we went to a restaurant before their thing went. It was like a burger place, yeah. And I was like, that burger looks nice, yeah. And got this burger. And it was just, you know, like nowadays, these burgers are like this, yeah. And they got some bit of wood in the middle of them because otherwise they're just going to fall apart because there's just so much stuff in them, right? So I'm sitting there and a lot of these people I hadn't met before. They had a couple of people come for baptism as well. And I'm just looking at this burger thinking, how am I going to tackle this? So I'm lifting it up and trying to eat it. And I like a bit of mustard in my burger as well. I think I had a bit of ketchup and a bit of mustard, yeah? And it's going everywhere, yeah? So I'm eating this burger. It's going down my face. It's all over my hands. And then as I'm eating it, people are coming in and going, oh, hi, Pastor Taverner, haven't met you. And I'm just like covered in food, yeah. They're just like, what? Yeah. The error was what I ordered, okay? So I should have thought about this and looked at the ingredients of the burger and thought, that's going to be a big burger. It's got too much in it. I think you might have had some bacon and stuff as well. It was a tipping point to be reached, right? So I had it all over my hands, all over my face and everything else. Now, Pierre had ordered the exact same thing. I'm turning around, he still hasn't touched his burger yet. So I get to the end, he's just eating his chips slowly, talking to people politely and everything else. I'm just covered in food, trying to avoid. I've gone through about 10 napkins by now, wipe it all off my face, off my hands. I've managed to keep my tie all right, I think, at this point. But it's been a messy old, I haven't wanted to shake people's hands. It's pretty embarrassing. I finish mine. I think he did this on purpose, yeah. Then he gets out his knife and fork. Starts cutting his burger and eating little bits. I'm like, damn, that's how I should have done it. Now, it wasn't as nice, but I reckon it's a bit more flavourful when you get the whole thing shoved in your mouth. The bottom was I was meeting people for the first time. It was bad manners. It was bad manners, and the problem was is I chose the wrong thing, and I was thinking, do I really eat a burger with a knife and fork? I don't know if they do that here. Am I going to get mocked for this? Well, in fact, that's what they do, it seemed, or at least what Pierre did, and he had it right, okay? So, anyway, point being, yeah, when you eat, how you eat is obviously there's some manners involved with that as well. We're not going to go into all the different ways with that. Anyway, the title is, do you have good manners? Number one, the way you speak. Number two, in the way you behave. And if not, why not? Okay, so with all those things, if you listen to those and you're just and you're not going, okay, yeah, fair point. I hadn't thought about it like that, or maybe yeah, that's something that I'm thinking. You know, why not? Okay, firstly, it's a command, but also it can make such a difference in eternity. Let's look at 1 Peter 3 last time. Verse 8 said, "Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil." Excuse me, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you're thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and eschew it. So good manners, considering one another, can be the difference between provoking to love and good works or not, really. Okay, because we're basically, you know, we're trying to encourage others to be loving, to do these things. It can be demoralising, for example, for leadership. You can imagine, right? Like, it can be demoralising, not just for myself, like I said, soul-winning captains and things like that as well. It can be hard, you know? Organise another one. Who knows? Who's going to blow out 5 minutes before it this time? Who's going to turn up an hour late while I'm trying to work out pairings and do that? Who's going to, you know, and same like when you're running a church and it's just like, right, who's going to just try and take as many liberties as they can this time, you know? Who's going to just suddenly cancel, do this, do that? It can be demoralising. It can be the difference between a peaceful church and not. People get offended by bad manners, okay? Offended by how people talk to them, how people treat them, whether or not they're thinking of that. And again, like I just picked some that came into my mind. But you could add 100 different ways of ultimately whether or not you're esteeming other people as better than yourselves, whether or not you're being compassionate, you're thinking of others, whether or not you're having empathy towards others, or you're just like, no, I'm more important. What I say is more important. What I want to do is more important. Okay, so it all goes, you know, there's many other areas you could go into with that. What's the knock-on effect, ultimately, of not having that piece of the church, of demoralising people, of demoralising leadership, etc.? What's the knock-on effect? Salvations. Salvations is ultimately going to be, if we lost people because of bad manners, if we lost people because people can't even greet them when they come in and out of the church, I'm not going to go back there. All those things, the knock-on effect, it's important, right? But on that, okay, outside of church work can also affect salvation. He said in verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Okay, we should be ready to basically preach the gospel, having a good conscience. "That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or your good behaviour in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." So don't suffer for being rude, for being offensive, for treating people badly, for having bad manners, yeah? Work on having good manners in the way you speak and the way you behave. Okay, how do you work on it? Make it a habit. Just make it a habit. Start with the house of God. So you've just heard it preached in the house of God. It's a good place to start as a house of God. Don't growl. Don't go home and go, you know, I'll teach him. I'm not going to come in for a few weeks and, you know, and everything else. Or, it's like make it a habit, right? House of God's a good place. Just be preached on. Good time to get it right. And if you make it a habit in the house of God and around God's people, you'll also therefore hopefully be able to make it a habit with your loved ones, because your loved ones are going to be like, why are you so polite to people at church? But you don't say please or thank you to me, and you know that you can make it a habit at home, and then it might become second nature with everyone. I don't think it's ever too late to learn good manners. It's easier if you're drilled into your young, and I think we should drill it into our kids young, because it does make a massive difference to people. People do care, people do judge people on their manners, but you can learn it, okay? Make it a habit and you know, use this sermon hopefully as inspiration to do that and to show that Pastor Taverner. Okay, he's just hopefully smashed everyone's toes in here. Okay, and on that, we're going to finish in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, clear instruction like, you know, being courteous and other things like that. And wanting to have a good conversation amongst others, good behaviour, showing that good behaviour that we'll be a good testimony. We want to be a good testimony, Lord, not just to each other, but to the world as well. Help us to start that in the house of God. To, you know, preferring one another above us, you know, above others, Lord, above, having each other in high esteem, and just make sure that we treat each other with the respect and honour that you expect us to, and help that to then have a knock-on effect to be able to be polite and have good manners to the outside world as well, so that we don't affect the chance of salvations, the chance of people wanting to hear the gospel
either now or in the future. Help us to have good manners when we go out soul winning as well, Lord. Help us to find people this afternoon that want to hear the gospel, to be polite to those that either do or don't, Lord, and Lord, just to show people our good conversation, show people our good behaviour. Help us to just be shining lights to those around us, but also at the same time without, you know, not going against anything that you want us to teach, preach, believe, etc. Help us to get the balance right, Lord, and help us to just get many people saved and return for this evening service. In Jesus' name, for all of this. Amen.